Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Many, many years ago, probably about 2,600 years ago, three men went through a terrible, terrible ordeal. Unbelievable ordeal. But they made it through. They made it through because the Lord was with them. Now, the ordeal wasn't easy. By no means. It was hard. It was difficult. And I imagine they were terrified. But they had faith in God. And because of that, they had victory. Amen? You know, you and I, with all that's happened, we can already see it, by the way, have entered an ordeal. I pray that Jesus comes. I pray He comes today. I wish He would. But if He doesn't come today, or next week, or next month, the ordeal is going to get worse and worse and worse. And so I want to talk to you today about the ordeal. And I want you to see how these three came through. Because if the Lord doesn't come immediately, I want you to come through. Amen? I want you to have the victory. Look with me in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. And the Bible says, and as I read this, I want you to notice how many times God says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso faileth, or whoso falleth not down, and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, how we rejoice that God, one thing the election did not change. God, you are on the throne, still on the throne. And we praise you for that. God, we thank you, Lord, that thy truths are everlasting. That, God, they are not dictated by men or governments. But, God, thy truth will stand when all these other things are gone. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that we are thy children. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been born again. God, we belong to you and you are our God. And God, you see your people. You see where we are. And Lord, you even see up ahead. And God, what we may have to endure. God, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that even before, God, we enter the furnace, thou art with us, always with us. We praise you, Lord. I pray, God, you'll help me to preach this morning. To preach, God, in power, thy power, and in strength, thy strength. May thy Holy Spirit have his way. And Lord, if there be one here that's not saved, oh my God, I pray for that soul. Pray for it today. Others, Lord, who may be following afar off, pray, God, today they'll be drawn close, ever closer to you. I pray, Father, that your will be done in every heart and in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, if you didn't get it, all those times it was said, was king. He was king of Babylon. God nailed, he kept nailing this nail all the way through this grave. He wants us to understand that Nebuchadnezzar was king. King of Babylon. And thereby, beloved, he was king, now get this, of most of the known world of that day. No other man, beloved, had his power. No other man. No other man had his authority. No other man had his wealth. No other man had his majesty and grandeur. He, beloved, decided who lived and who died. He decided, beloved, who would eat and who would not. Who would be free and who, beloved, would be bound. He decided, beloved, what men could do and couldn't do. In fact, beloved, he even decided when and what men worshiped and what men didn't worship. He was the ultimate ruler of the earth, or so he thought. But we know who is the ultimate ruler, don't we? God. God is the ultimate ruler. So it was no surprise, beloved, that his standing, position, and power went to this man's head. Folks, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it corrupted the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. Beloved, one day, the Bible tells us he erected a golden image in the plain of Dura. A huge image. He commanded, beloved, that everyone, every tongue, every language, everyone in his kingdom, beloved, that everyone, when they heard the sound of music, would bow down and worship that golden image. Folks, that image was a symbol of man. It was a symbol of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It was a symbol, beloved, of his rule and his power and his authority over all that is. He commanded that all men worship that image. And if any dare to not conform, if any dared, beloved, to resist, they would be cast into a fiery furnace. Oh, but let me tell you, there were three Hebrew children, we call them. They weren't children, they were men. But they were captives, beloved, captives from the land of Israel. And they absolutely refused to bow to that image. You see, they had a God already. Beloved, the God of their fathers, the God who created all that is, the God, beloved, the one true living God was their God. A God who forbid, beloved, that idol worship of any kind. So they said, no. No, we won't bow to that image. Though all the world bow to it, we will be true to our God. To our God. Folks, from then on, the pressure was on. I mean, it was on. Bow or be destroyed. Bow. Be like the rest of us or perish. That's what was being said. And that was the ordeal that these three men found themselves, beloved. Oh, listen. Listen to me now. That's the ordeal that we are facing today. Very same thing. Folks, the pressure is on for us to bow, beloved, to the false gods of this earth. The pressure is on. To worship man, beloved, as the world worships man. To worship leaders as the world worships leaders. To bow to their authority, beloved, their power. To forsake our God and be and do as they are. As they are. They want us to think like they think. They want us, but when I say us, I'm talking about the people of God. They want us, beloved, to act as they act. They want us to accept what they accept. They want us to do as they do, beloved, to bow, beloved, to the world's golden image. To the world's golden image. See, that's what this cancel culture is about. Folks, listen. If you don't agree with them, they will cancel you out. How many of y'all heard of the cancel culture? That's what they're doing. They're trying to force us to bow, to be like them, to be like them. That's what all this. Censorship is about, beloved. That's why Facebook and Twitter and other of these big tech companies are blocking and banning, beloved, those that don't agree with them. With them. Got quiet in here. Amen. Come on, help me out. That's what it's about. That's why, beloved, globalists and the politicians are even threatening vengeance against those who were for the previous president. Vengeance. In other words, hey, you got to think like us. You got to be like us. You got to bow to our God. Did you know? That they are pushing what they call domestic terrorist laws. They are pushing this. Brennan, who used to be head of the CIA, said that he has talked to the Biden administration and that they are looking to go over America for what he called, beloved, unholy alliances between religious extremists and racists and bigots and others. Tell me something. What is a religious extremist? What is it? Is it someone who's pro-life? Is that what they call religious extremists? That's me. I don't believe in killing babies before they're born. Is it those who speak out against homosexuality? It's me. Because God speaks out against it. Is it believing, beloved, that this Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of Almighty God? But they're coming after the religious extremists and the bigots. and the racist. Why are they doing this? I tell you why. Bow to our image, or you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. That's why. That's why. Folks, just like those three Hebrew children, if Jesus doesn't come immediately, we are facing an ordeal. We who know and love and worship the true God, we are facing an ordeal. And the pressure is on. It's on. By the way, they weren't the only three who faced it. See, all the captives of Israel faced it too. I mean, these are just the three that we're told about in Daniel. Daniel faced it, beloved, but he was away on the king's business, so Bible scholars believe. Ezekiel, beloved, Ezekiel faced it, but he wasn't revealed to the king what Ezekiel did. But I can assure you, beloved, that Ezekiel would never bow to that golden image. To that golden image. What about all the other captives? God's people. We don't know. We don't know. But I can almost guarantee you that many of them conformed to the world and bowed to that image. They turned their backs, beloved, on truth. They turned their backs on God. Beloved, they gave in to the pressure and conformed to the world. Now, I don't know that, but I can almost guarantee you it happened. Oh, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. No, listen. God had been too good to them, beloved, for them to desert Him. God, beloved, had blessed them too much for them to turn their backs on Him. They believed in God, beloved, that God is real, that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God is almighty. They believed that with all their heart. That God is greater and more powerful than any man or any system that man comes up with. And that brings us to an interesting point. Folks, this was God against Satan. God against evil. This was righteousness against unrighteousness. And these three believers were caught in the middle. In the middle, just like we are called in the middle. Now, if God is good, and He is. If God, beloved, is all powerful, and He is. If God, beloved, is in control of everything, and He is, how in the world did this happen? How, beloved, did this ordeal ever come about? How did it come about? Somebody says, well, preacher, Nebuchadnezzar put up an image. Ain't God more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar? Amen. Well, preacher, the king ordered people to bow. Isn't God's word, beloved, more powerful than the word of a king? Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, Nebuchadnezzar had armies to back him up. Doesn't God, beloved, have multitudes, myriads of angels, legions of angels to back him up? One angel killed, I think it was 176,000. I didn't look this up in one night. And God's got millions and millions and millions of them. Let me tell you how this happened. It happened because man has a free will. God, when God made us, God gave man a free will. Listen, God, beloved, could force everyone to obey him and do only what's right, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He gave man a free will for man to choose whether to obey God, honor God, live for God or not. And every one of us has a free will. Nebuchadnezzar had a free will. See, this was the free will of Nebuchadnezzar at work. He chose, beloved, to put up that image. He chose, beloved, to issue that wicked, wicked command. He chose to defy the true God of heaven. He chose it. He chose to listen to the devil. But God let him have his way. And it happened. Yes, listen. God could have prevented it all easily. But beloved, he would have had to have violated the free will of man. And God's the one who gave us that free will. You see, God doesn't want you to follow him and obey him and worship him because you have to. Beloved, he wants you to do it because you choose to. Because you choose to. And that's true about the ordeal that we face today. People ask, why? Why did this anti-life, anti-church, anti-freedom crowd take over in America? Why didn't God stop it? Because God gave them a free will. A free will. And they've chosen, beloved, to side against God and against his word. And now, just like Nebuchadnezzar, they are trying to force us to side against God too. But you see, we got a choice too. Amen? We got a choice too. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They chose, beloved, to trust God. They chose to be true to God. They would not bow, beloved, to the golden image. They would not do it. Well, what happened? Well, first, evil men reported them to the king. Look in this same chapter. This is in verses 8 through 12. But I just want you to read verse 12. Listen, here's these evil men, tattletales. Don't you hate a tattletale? Running to the king about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen to what it says. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen to what they said. They have not regarded thee. Wait a minute. What about God? Have these tattletales regarded God? Did Nebuchadnezzar regard God? Folks, they put the king over God himself. Over God himself. Now tell me something. How many are putting the government, beloved, over God himself today? How many? Well, the government says it's okay to abort my baby. Government says it's okay. So it must be okay. You know, the government says that it's okay for a man to lie with man, a woman to lie with woman, so it must be okay. It must be okay. Government says it's okay to worship other gods, other religions, so it must be okay. They say it's okay to lie because they lie. It's okay to be immoral. The government says it's okay. But what does God say? What does God say? Folks, listen, it's God that you will give an account to, not Biden, not Pelosi, not even Trump. Yeah, beloved, it's God that you and I are going to give an account to. So we better regard God, amen, what He says, what He says. It's God, beloved, who will open the gates of heaven for you, or either, beloved, the pit of hell. It's God, beloved, who will say to you either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Well, listen, as we face this ordeal, we better regard what God says above anything else. That's what these three did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they regarded God, not the words of the king, but the eternal words of the eternal God. Of the eternal God. But they were reported to the king. And the king called them in. And he simply asked them this: is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is it true that you won't worship my golden image? He said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a second chance. If you bow to my image when you hear the music, you're forgiven. All will be well. All will be, that's what he said. All will be well. But if you don't, ye shall be cast into a fiery furnace. And who is that God that can deliver you from my hand? From my hand. Folks, they didn't even have to think about it. Notice that. You see, they had already resolved in their heart what they were going to do. And this is one thing I want us to do, folks. Before this ordeal gets too hard and too heavy, we need to resolve in our heart now what we are going to do. What we are going to do. They said, we're not careful to answer thee, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to be careful about answering you. We don't have to give it any consideration. Folks, you reckon they were afraid? Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They knew what was coming. They were afraid. You think, beloved, they had a death wish to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace? No. No. But they knew, beloved, they knew who they had believed was faithful. And they had already resolved to be true to God no matter what. No matter what. Listen to what they said. This is in verse 17, I believe. Yeah. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand. One way or the other, Nebuchadnezzar, He's going to deliver us from you. Verse 18. But if not, if He doesn't, if it's not His will to deliver us from the fire, we will not serve. We will not worship your gold, serve your gods, nor worship your golden image. Oh, for faith like that. Oh, for love, beloved, to love Him that much. Because, folks, that's the faith that we've got to have. That's the faith that will enable us to endure, beloved, whatever comes. That's the love, beloved, that will cause us to endure our ordeal. Our ordeal. That's the love and faith that Paul had when he was a prisoner in Rome that last time. And they brought him out watched a Christian movie about that this past week. And they laid his head on that block. And I can imagine that guard, because that guard in the movie really liked Paul. He really liked him. Paul, won't you recant? Won't you say that it's all wrong, that you've been wrong, and that you'll worship the gods of Rome? Paul's words. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Looking at the Acts, folks, he said this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but for all that love His appearing. That's the love and faith that he had. One thing in that film that really stuck out to me. Christians were being killed. This was under Nero's persecutions. And I've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I know that what they were saying was true in the movie. Christians were doused, hung up on poles alive, and set fire to light Nero's gardens. And I saw that happen in that film. Christians were thrown to lions, killed, murdered. And they were in the prison. And Luke, in the movie, Luke was there, which that's the Hollywood part of it, you know. And these Christians, and I mean old, young children, they said, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen to us? And Luke said, come around. He said, tomorrow the games will begin. And they knew what that meant. They were going to be the entertainment as they were killed and martyred. And you heard a cry from them. And Luke said, wait a minute. He said, you'll feel pain for just a moment. And then you'll be looking on the face of Jesus. On the face of Jesus. Just a moment. Just a moment. This ordeal we're facing is just a moment. And we will look on the face of Jesus. If you've got the faith. And the love for Him. The faith and the love for Him. And they had it. These three had it, beloved. Tell me, do you have that faith? Do you have that love? As we are entering this ordeal. You say, preacher, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I hope you're right. I pray you are. But if it is, do you have the faith? Do you have the love for the Lord? The king was furious. I mean, he was absolutely furious at what these three men said. You know, they always are when they can't control you, aren't they? They're furious. And he, beloved, ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual. So hot was this furnace, beloved, that when they bound those three and they told men to take them and cast them into the furnace, the men who were casting them in were killed by the heat and the flame of that furnace. Nebuchadnezzar watched as those three fell into that great fiery furnace. But as he looked, he expected them to be consumed, burned up. But the Bible says he was astounded, which means astonished. Because not only were they not consumed, but beloved, he saw a fourth person in the fire. Look in verses 24 and 25 in this chapter. Look at what it says. Verse 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Whoa! Listen, Jesus was in that plane with them, beloved. And that's the thing, Christian. No matter how terrible the furnace is, the Lord is with you. Jesus is with you. He honored their faith. He honored, beloved, their love. And he was right there protecting them. Protecting them. I'm too old to get this excited. Protect. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't believe his eyes. He went and he called out, come out ye, listen to this, servants of the Most High. Whoa, wait a minute. Boy, his tune has changed, hasn't it? I mean, just a while ago, who is that God that can deliver you from my hand? But now, all you servants of the Most High, come out. And when they did, the ropes that had bound them were gone, burnt. But their clothes were not burnt. And there was no smell of smoke about them. And get this, not a hair on their body was singed. Jesus had protected them in the midst of that ordeal. O King Nebuchadnezzar, he said this in verse 28. Listen to this. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Whoa! Folks, they endured that ordeal. Listen to me. And God was glorified for all the world at that time to see. You want to know why God allowed this terrible ordeal to happen? I told you how it happened. You want to know why God allowed this to happen? That he might be glorified through his servants, you and me, that he might be glorified. And folks, that's why God has allowed this ordeal to happen. This ordeal that our nation faces, that the world faces, that he might be glorified in us, and through us. And listen to me, he will be glorified. He will be glorified. But here's the question. Will he be glorified through you? Through me? Will you stand for him? No matter what. Will you have that kind of faith and love for him? No matter what. Or will you bow under the pressure to the globalists, the politicians, and this wicked, wicked world? Will you face whatever comes Because you have that faith in God. Because you love Jesus that much. And will you resolve now, today, each one of us, before we face the furnace of persecution or trial or whatever, will you say, my God can deliver me, and He will, but if not, I still will not bow to their golden image. Will you do that? Will you do that? It's a thing that each one of us has to decide. Has to decide. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today and you're not saved, I say with all the love that's in me, you're on the wrong side, friend. You're on the wrong side. But you can get on the right side. See, you can come out of the world and come to Christ and become a child of God by receiving Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's an act of faith. Where you come and humble yourself and you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus and you're born again, washed in His blood, and all your sins are gone and your name's written in the book of life. If you're here today and you are saved, but maybe you're following far off, and in your heart you know it, you know it. Now's the time. Now's the time to come back to Him. To run into His arms, because His arms are open wide, waiting for you to come home. For you to come home. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. And you say, preacher, I don't know what's coming. I'm praying that Jesus will come any moment, any time. I'm praying for Him to come right now. But preacher, whatever comes, I want that love. That love for Him. I want that faith. That faith before I stand before the furnace. God will answer. God will hear. God will give you that love and that faith. I want you to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, have your way now in this service. In Jesus' name, we do pray. We pray. Whatever the reason, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Maybe you got loved ones who are lost. And you want to pray for them. You want to pray for them. Won't you come? If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Folks are still coming. What about you? What about you? It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Won't you come? Won't you come? You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. You that are in your cars, you can bow right where you are, and God will hear your prayer. Maybe you want to pray for our nation. Maybe you want to pray for lost loved ones. Maybe you want to pray for your faith, for your love. God is listening. God is listening. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask first if there's anyone at this altar, in this church, and you're not saved, and you want to be saved. Would you lift your hand? Anyone. Anywhere. Anywhere. I know not why these have come. God knows. I pray that some are drawing nigh to Him. I pray that some are praying for loved ones and family. I pray that some are saying, God, give me more faith. Help me love you more and more and more. Brother Don had a miracle performed on him. I believe that with all my heart. And I can think of no one any better to lead us in this prayer about this altar than him.